This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Welcome to a Joycast from Joy 94.9. Visit joy.org.au to find out more about our Joycast.
Good evening, Melbourne. You're listening to Purple Speech here on Joy 94.9. Michael James here and pushing all my buttons. John P. Winter.
Beep, beep.
Beep, beep. And looking very youthful today, tonight. Chris O.
That would be me. Hello.
That would be you.
I think someone's found the eternal fountain of youth.
Yes, the fountain of youth in what I like to call a bronzing brush.
Either that, or I was going to say either that, or Chris O could be reliving a famous part of the movie Dark Crystal, where the life gets sucked out of the young people into the old people. But anyway, enough of me.
That has gone right over my head.
That was a bit obscure.
Oh, look, I've watched that movie before, I just haven't seen it in a very long time.
You've tuned into a very exciting show tonight. We are speaking to Hayley Mayer and Mitchell Y, who played the characters Bianca and James in the movie Wish for Tomorrow. They'll be live on the phone chatting to us. So very excited to talk to them tonight, aren't we?
Very excited.
Getting the inside goss of the acting world and their part in the film, which is very exciting. Of course, we did promote Wish for Tomorrow a few weeks ago back on our show. So for those who don't remember, that film is circulating the festivals, I believe, now. So we'll be looking at that a little bit later. But we're still recovering, I think, from last week's wedding.
Oh, I know.
I believe our couples are honeymooning at the moment.
Yes, I think they could be out enjoying some special things. Although, if I remember correctly, the young lasses, Leanne and Kerry, I believe, had already been
to
on
Paris.
Their honeymoon.
Yes,
in fabulous Paris.
How lovely. So I'd love to go to Paris. I'd love to get out of Australia. I can't. Well, like, I did just come back from a weekend away.
Oh, yes, because your life is so stressful, Michael. You must have another weekend away.
I did just get back from Torquay, so that was lovely. But I've lost my voice, so bear with me tonight.
your life's very hard, isn't it?
It's so hard. We are looking at a few things tonight, but you can communicate with us. How do they do that, John?
Of course, they can SMS. Come on, guys. Give me a break. Come on. 0427JOY. 949, or they can call our mates.
They can call Robert. How can they do that, Chris? What?
They can call, Robert. He's got a new haircut this evening, so make sure that you compliment him on that one.
Yep.
And the phone number is 1300-JOY-949.
Very dapper is what
Very
I've
dapper.
Heard.
Dapper.
And, of course, email onair@joy.org.au, Michael.
They can talk to us. Say hi. Actually, I was posing a question to you guys earlier, and I'll pose it to our listeners. Have you Googled yourself?
We
can be inappropriate about this, but when I say Googled, I mean, have you actually typed your name into Google and looked at the I'm referring more to the pictures.
Okay.
As opposed to what links come up.
Yes, I have Googled
myself. Have you Google pictured yourself?
Yes, I have Google pictured myself, and pretty much everything from my YouTube channel and my Instagram will come up.
Yeah.
Especially when I use the hashtag.
Anything, discriminating?
Nothing that I haven't put out there already, so I guess I can't get too angry if I put it out myself.
Have you Googled pictured yourself?
Yeah, mine's not so interesting.
No. I have to do that now and have a look. Yeah,
bit of LinkedIn. No Facebook.
Any MySpace pictures?
No.
No?
I did try and track down my MySpace account a couple of weeks ago, but they shut it down. And I don't know if it's because there were some particularly embarrassing videos on there or not, but can't find it. It's gone forever.
I can't remember my login for MySpace. I've tried to log into it about 3 or 4 times because there's photos on there that I can't get, and I don't know where I put them. I lost my computer, so I can't get into it. And the old Hotmail address that I had, I hadn't logged into that for ages, and Hotmail kind of deleted it, so I've got no way of getting into it.
Let us know if you've Googled yourself or Googled pictured yourself on air@joy.org.au, or you can call us 1300-JOY-949. Let Robert know that you've Googled, and let us know the results. We want to hear from you, so or you could Google yourself right now and let us know. Or send the pictures to our Facebook page, John.
That's right. Send them straight through.
We want to see all the incriminating evidence.
Just remember, this is an 8 p.m. show, Michael James.
Yes, well, we won't post anything that's below the waist.
Yes. Nothing that's too OTT.
So maybe don't Google O. Chris O.
I am a classy young man. Thank you, Michael James. Regardless of whatever
you can
says.
Again, those numbers. Text us 0427 Joy 949 1300 Joy 949 or email on air at joy.org.au. Guys, it was Mental Health Week last week.
Oh, yeah.
Yes, I heard about
that. Yes, it was. We've discussed this many times in our show, and we will continue to do so. Talking about depression or anxiety, and there's a few little tips that we give to you, which is using your voice, visiting your GP, and booking in with a mental health professional. But I think the biggest thing we need to remind all our listeners, and that seeking help is not a sign of weakness.
Yes, that's right. Sometimes it is a very male response. Sorry, I'm speaking about myself here. But it's a very male response not to, try and hold it all in and, have a bit of pride and all of that. So it is actually important, especially to those men out there, to put yourself out on a limb and go seek help if you think you need it.
I personally think that asking for help makes you one of the strongest people out there.
I agree. I, like, talking from personal experience all through high school, my report feedback was always, Michael doesn't ask for enough help, doesn't speak up enough. And I think moving into adulthood, that's still the case. So, it can be scary and it can be daunting. And sometimes you don't know how to ask for help or who to go to. So, people in some cases just say nothing. So I think it's those friends or family that recognize someone who might be a bit quieter, just to ask, are you okay? Or have a general conversation with them. And don't be afraid to open up to that person, because sometimes they need that encouragement. Or I know I, from personal experience, wanted that,
Needed that one person to ask you if you're okay to open, I guess, the bag of worms to get you to start talking about things.
But just remember, as we said, seeking help is not a sign of weakness. There is heaps of references. So, of course, you can call Lifeline on 13 11 14. You can go to the It Gets Better Australia website, www.igba.org.au. There's a few other numbers there, Chris.
There is QLife. So you can phone them on 1800 184 527 between the hours of 5:30 and 10:30 p.m. daily. There's also the Suicide Callback, which is a nationwide telephone support service for people at risk of suicide, their carers, and those bereaved by suicide. So you can give them a call on 1-300-659-467.
And John, Beyond Blue.
Of course, Beyond Blue. Phone 1-300-224-636. So Beyond Blue is all about men's health and depression, which we were just speaking about. And finally, Kids Helpline, which the number is 1-800-551-800.
Very important numbers. And on that topic too, John, we're going to talk more about this in tonight's show later, but internalized homophobia.
Yes. So we've got a bit of a spot coming up in the final part of our show this evening, which is all about internal homophobia. We had a bit of a discussion about the Purple Speech Team the other week, and it turned out to be very fascinating. So from what I've discovered, internalized homophobia is a very contradictory thing. It's basically hating yourself. But I don't want to go into too much detail right now. But I think in the meantime, while we lead up to that segment, I think people out there should, drop us a line and tell us what they think. What is their opinion on internalized homophobia?
Definitely. Let us know on air at joy.org.au. Of course, you can call us this new season on 1-300-JOY-949. Speak to Robert at the desk. He loves to hear all your thoughts, and so do we on air. And your messages will be read out live. So give us a call and say hey.
Hey.
Say hey. We like to say hey. Hey, a joy. very, very good show. We have two live interviews all the way from Sydney tonight. Hayley Mayer and Mitchell Y, who played the characters Bianca and James in the movie Wish for Tomorrow. You're listening to Purple Speech here on Joy 94.9.
You're listening to a Joycast from GLBTIQ community radio station, Joy 94.9.
You are listening to Purple Speech here on Joy 94.9. Michael James here with John P. Winterling, Chris O, as always.
And hello. Jumping the gun as per usual, Michael James.
As always. Our next guest played Bianca in the film Wish for Tomorrow. She joins us live on the phone, Hayley Mayer. Hayley, thank you for joining us.
Hi, thanks for having me. How are you going?
Really well. So tell us how you got involved with the movie Wish for Tomorrow.
Basically, I auditioned and as soon as I read the script, I fell in love with the story.
Just stop you there. What made you fall in love with the story?
It's pretty incredible. It affects a lot of people, and I think that it's an area that sort of hasn't been that delved into that much, and yeah, obviously it's something that's really important. So yeah, I was very excited about it.
Yeah, and since doing the film, I mean, it's had a lot of great positive responses from doing the film. How's that made you feel being part of that?
I'm really proud of it. I think our director, Nicholas Panaski, has done such an incredible job. Yep. And his heart is just completely for, you know, Shane and Tom's story. And
yep.
I think that he's really successfully portrayed that, and I'm just really proud to be a part of it.
What would you say would be the most easy and probably difficult part in making this movie for you?
Well, the easiest definitely was working with Nick.
Okay. Oh, interesting.
Yeah, he has.
He is listening. You don't have to. You can be honest.
No. Honestly, he's a very intoxicating person. His personality is very sarcastic, and we had a lot of fun on set, which was really good because obviously the material is quite heavy and can be very emotionally draining.
Yeah.
So I guess that was a really nice contrast. And, definitely the most difficult thing would be dealing with all the issues of my brother in the film, you know, passing away and everything like that. So, yeah.
And from being an actor yourself, how long have you been acting for, just for our listeners?
So I studied and I've done a few films, but all up probably about 6 years.
Yeah, and what would you say you enjoy most about it?
For me, I love the collaborative effect of it all and how everyone sort of comes together and shares their talent to create something. I think it's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, and obviously the storytelling.
Well, it must be fun getting there, like getting involved with each director and I suppose telling a story, watching it come to life.
Yeah, 100%. It's cool. It's really fun to find something that you can just throw yourself into and transform into, you know, someone else. It's pretty cool.
Yeah. We are speaking to Mitchell a bit later. How was it working with him? Did you know him prior to doing the film?
No, I didn't actually. I feel like I got really, really lucky with him. He's a really giving actor and incredible person. So we had that sort of sisterly, brotherly bond from the get-go, which made it really, really easy and natural to portray on screen. So I felt pretty stoked to have him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So obviously this film was quite heavily involved with equal rights and the love and obviously same-sex marriage being approved. How important is equal rights and love to you and getting obviously gay marriage or same-sex marriage approved?
Yeah. So I guess from the get-go, equality in all areas is pretty high up on my belief system. But my brother is actually gay, so...
Oh, okay.
It's always been something that I've felt quite passionate about and really think that it's something that people just need to...
With your brother being gay, did you use that as influence at all for this film?
I definitely had stuff to draw on, but not really to that extent. My brother's been pretty lucky. I have a very, very supportive family, and so they've always been very open and welcoming of it. But and obviously in the film, that wasn't the case.
No, well, yeah, exactly. Yeah. Very opposite.
Yeah. So no, it's been
It's been a big journey for you, hasn't it?
Yeah, it's been really cool. Really great journey, and equality is so important in all areas of life, and hopefully it gets to the point of love, which is one of the most important things in the world, that we don't have to look at, you know, gay, straight, whatever. It can just be, you know, be who you are.
And what a divine, if only the world could be exactly like that, where Chris O says it quite a lot, love is love, and just where we could all, you know, as individuals be free without judgment to love the people that we want to love.
So good. Think of how we could flourish if that was the case. And hopefully it does get to that one day. I think that Australia is moving in leaps and bounds in that sense. So hopefully it'll be, we won't have to sit here and have a discussion about
exactly.
It. It will just exist.
Exactly. Now, Hayley, I have to ask, the film deals with a lot of, I guess, heavy issues. How did you, as an actor, you know, turn off at the end of the day and make sure that it didn't affect you outside of, you know, working on the movie? I could only imagine that, you know, it would be hard to switch off at the end of the day after filming such an emotional, few scenes.
Well, I mean, champagne's really good for that.
And also good to celebrate with.
Yeah. Yes, exactly. No, We had an amazing cast and crew. So for the majority of our shoot, we were away filming and all shooting and living in the same mega mansion.
Mm-hmm.
So it was nice. At the end of the day, we went down to the beach, sat on the beach, played pool table.
Oh, just sounds perfect.
Yeah, it was really cool. So,
what would you say, I'm throwing this one at you, but what would you say you learnt the most after doing this film, if anything?
Honestly, I would have to say that it wouldn't be about the subject matter, because I feel like I'm quite open to an understanding of that. I would probably just say that as an actor, finding your peace on set is really, really important, because there's so much going on and you really have to have that control in yourself just to step into the scene and, you know, the character and live in it.
Yeah, and for our listeners who may not have seen the film yet, because it is only available through the festival circuit, tell us a little bit about your character, Bianca.
Cool. So Bianca is completely supportive of her brother. She's a really happy-go-lucky person. There's a few things going on in her own relationship that are sort of holding her back, and so she's got a few different things that she's fighting, but obviously family and love is pretty high up there for her.
Hayley, did you look to your own personal relationship with your brother to help support your acting within this movie?
To be completely honest, I didn't even have to go there, because as soon as I met Mitchell, we had such a strong connection and we were so playful and already sort of how the characters had to be. So I didn't really feel like I needed to dive into anything personal. But in other roles, I definitely have used, you know, different family and friends and stuff.
Well, you will. I have to ask. You know, they say that with every role that you do, there is some element of yourself in the character. Is that what you found in Bianca at all? Or,
yeah, probably. I guess just the love that she has for her brother.
Mm-hmm.
That's definitely me. I have two brothers, and they're just the most amazing, incredible people. I feel very, very lucky. Aww.
Yay to your brothers. I must say, the scene, the funeral...
That's the truth.
Yeah. No, well, that's good. I must say the funeral scene in the film is the one, I think, one of my personal favourites of yours, when you turn to your mother and
Oh, yeah, what a bitch.
Yeah. I just think, like, it's such a build-up, I think, for your character as well as the film, and that was kind of, like, for me personally watching it, that was a climax. Really sort of, I think, your character understanding that this is what your parents are really like and this isn't right. And I think it's such a turning point. It's such an amazing scene. So I wanted to congratulate you on that one.
Oh, thank you. That's lovely.
Just quickly, any advice you can give to our listeners who may be looking to start out as an actor, or anything personally that you've gone through that maybe you can share?
Yeah, I would honestly just say that staying connected for me has been the most effective way to progress, I guess. So keeping up to date with what's going on, especially independent stuff. Australia is producing some incredible films and TV, and we've got some incredible writers and directors in Australia. So that and keeping the training up. I know a lot of people seem to, they go to acting school and then that's finished, where I'm a big believer in, grabbing as much information as possible from as many different teachers as possible.
Oh, beautiful. That's such good advice.
Oh, thank you.
Hayley, thank you so much for speaking with us tonight and giving us a bit of an insight in your character.
Thank you. It's been lovely.
You're listening to Purple Speech here on Joy 94.9.
Missed your favourite show? Head to the new Joy website and click on podcast to catch up with the best Joy has to offer. joy.org.au.
You're listening to Purple Speech here on Joy 94.9. Michael James here with John P. Wintle and Chris O.
Hello.
Hello. Thank you for paying attention to my pointing, Michael.
keeping me on whatever. Live on the phone is our next guest, who also stars in the film Wish for Tomorrow, Mitchell Y. Mitchell, thank you for joining us.
No worries. How's it going?
Yeah, really well, thank you. So tell us a bit about how you got involved with the film and your character, James.
Well, James is dealing with some internal issues.
Yeah.
And he's really sort of being put up to being confronted with whether or not to come out to his family. And basically I got onto the film itself. I saw a casting online and I went in to go for an audition, but I almost didn't even get a chance to audition for the film.
Why is that?
Well, when I was supposed to be going in for the audition, unfortunately, my grandmother passed away at the time, so I couldn't make the audition. And then about 2-3 weeks after that, I saw that they were still doing, I think, a second or third round of auditions. And then I ended up going, meeting with Nicholas, the director, and yeah, just sort of realized we were on the same wavelength about everything. And I think I really saw that he had a very similar vision of what I kind of expected it, I guess, to be. And I felt like I kind of really needed to be a part of it. Yeah.
Okay. So you, for our listeners who may not know, you are playing a gay character in this film. Talk to us a bit about, I suppose, that, and were there any easy or difficult parts in doing that?
I guess it's kind of when you play any character anyway, it's all very relative. It's a human thing, I guess. So for me, I kind of found it's not so much about playing a gay character, but more circumstantial, I guess, and sort of trying to relate. I think that's the biggest thing, and basically trying to find how I can sort of be in touch with what he's going through, I guess, in the most human possible.
Yeah, I kind of wanted to ask, and I asked Hayley this before. I mean, as an actor, you have to draw, and they say that there is a part of you in every character that you play. So I guess you being, you know, a straight male, was it harder for you to connect with the character, you know, of James, or did you find it a little bit easier because you could delve more into, you know, the artist side of things and create your own backstory and own, you know, character for him?
I don't think it was every character is kind of different.
Mm-hmm.
I think you're right. Like there's always sort of some part of you that comes out, and I guess when you're faced with the challenges of whether it's in the script or trying to tell the story or anything like that, it's just finding little parts of your life that you can come as close as possible to the circumstance that that character's going through at the time. And I think that's the closest way to relate.
Yeah.
But I just found that his struggle, I guess, and the events that he is going through and was going through, I think that's just sort of finding the human link and the human connection to it, I guess. Like I said before, it's very much a human thing, so it's finding that sort of that angle that you approach, and you'll always just naturally find that part of you, or you know, the emotions come out because you know it's all universal.
What sort of feedback have you had since doing the film, good or positive?
Incredibly positive, actually. It's been pretty eye-opening.
What?
I guess.
What do you mean by eye-opening? For yourself?
Well, just the level of, I guess the level of compassion that people have shown just for the situation. And when they watch the film, there seems to be so much love and support for what the characters go through. And I think it's a really beautiful thing to see that, to see people sort of, I guess sympathize
yeah.
to it. And it's kind of opened my sort of, I guess, my eyes to a lot of other stories that I've seen. Like a friend of mine from Brisbane, actually, he experienced something at one of the universities that really made me aware of how strong equality is an issue even within like a younger demographic as well.
Yeah.
I kind of think we just assume that sort of the younger crowd sort of has that more acceptance, but then hearing sort of his story and sort of hearing a few other different stories, it just sort of makes me so much more aware. And I think that's something that's really important about this film, is creating that awareness, making people understand.
Definitely. Going back into the film, was there any particular scenes that you found challenging doing?
Probably. Well, I guess the obvious one would be the coming out scene.
Yeah.
I guess having to sort of to get in touch with this. I guess I personally don't ever know exactly what it would be like. That I personally can't ever, you know, experience that 100%. But I guess that's the beauty of doing acting. It's like I get to be as close to possible to those experiences, and I guess getting the opportunity to try and at least understand.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah.
I must say, for me, one of my personal favourite scenes of yours was it was the bedroom scene towards the end where you were both sitting on the floor. Well, I think you were sitting on the floor and you were going through that emotion and that headspace. I think that was something I could relate to and found quite compelling. So I wanted to congratulate you on that one.
Thank you so much for that. I really appreciate that.
What, I suppose, any advice you can give to our listeners that may be looking to start out as an actor? Or maybe even doing a challenging scene or character that you've done?
The biggest thing that sort of clicked, because I started studying in about 2008, and I studied for 3 years, and it wasn't, and even, I think I've been doing it for about 6 years all up, but it's probably in the last sort of couple of years that a few things have clicked to me, that it's just kind of learning to love it. I think that's a
yep.
few... If you want to do it, you have to love it, or at least learn to love it, and then go out and train as much as you can. Get, you know, you can study as much as you want, but unless you're sort of getting in front of a camera or getting like up on stage or
that hands-on experience, definitely.
Yeah, definitely.
Mitchell, thank you so much for talking to us tonight. It was good to get an in-depth look on your character.
No, thanks for having me.
It was our pleasure. You're listening to Purple Speech on Joy 94.9.
Hi, this is Dolly Diamond, Joy 94.9. It's my 9th favourite radio station.
And this is my 1st favourite radio station, Purple Speech on Joy 94.9 with John P. Wintle and Chris O.
Hello.
Keeping you on the ball, Michael. Keeping you honest.
Oh, keeping me honest by pointing. Is that internalised homophobia, John?
Ah, what a good segue.
Actually, before we get anywhere, we need to read an email, a very important email that's come through from Mark in sunny Brisbane. He says, hello to the guides of Purple Speech. It's Mark from sunny Brisbane today. We got around 28 degrees for those in Brisbane. It was 28 degrees. I'm here with next to nothing. I'm listening to you guys on my tablet. Thanks, Mark. It would be good if you had a guest speak on Joy 94.9, who is not only part of the LGBTIQ community, but who also has a disability, like visual hearing and people with other profound disabilities, because I feel that people with a disability are what I call invisible part of the LGBTIQ community. Interesting topic, Mike, and we will discuss this further. It would also be good to hear from other men who also like wearing skirts, not as drag act on your station, because I have a saying and it goes something like this: not all guys who wear skirts, dresses are gay. Not all gay men wear skirts and dresses. It will be good to know if there is an organization for people like us out there where we can go out and be ourselves and go out there and have a voice to be heard.
Yeah.
Guys, what do we think of this? This is an interesting email.
So me personally, I'm not really aware of you know, the resources out there that could be available for Mark to go to for this for you know, enjoying wearing skirts and such, but not in a drag sense.
Yeah.
So I guess we need to specifically call that out, that that Mark is saying that while he does like wearing skirts, he doesn't wear them in a you know,
in drag in the sense show. Of a yeah.
performer. Yeah.
But I think the other point he touches on is speaking to people with a disability, such as visually hearing. I think that's very relevant. You know, we of course are open to any guests that want to come on Purple Speech and talk to us. We don't judge, we don't discriminate, so we are open to everyone. We just haven't at this stage come across anyone, I suppose, with a so-called disability. But it doesn't mean we won't in the future.
So, if there are any people out there who would like to come on the show, our doors are open to everybody. So,
definitely.
We want to represent the interests of the community. And by doing that, we invite everybody, yourself, Mark, anyone, to come in definitely. And talk to us.
We did have on our show a few weeks back, and forgive me for mentioning this, if this person has wanted me to mention it, but we did have Jacob Thomas, who doesn't define as a male or female in the sense that he doesn't want to be called he or him. So that's a relevant part of the LGBT community. So we do get quite a lot of different people of all from the rainbow come on and talk to us. And we have many more lined up that will be coming on and talking to us. But it's an interesting topic because we are looking at internalized homophobia, John.
That's right, internalized homophobia. So a lot of people might ask what internalized homophobia is. And basically what it is it's a reference to negative feelings that some of us might feel towards ourselves, our own sexuality. So the forms of this homophobia could take many different forms, from outright shame, denial, or self-injury, to hating on other gay people, or more unconscious behaviours as well. So, I guess the one that we had this conversation, the Purple Speech team off air a couple of weeks ago, and the one that we really focused on was I guess it's almost like the unconscious bias of homophobia. Of gay men against other gay men, which I think is predominant in our community. I know that in my younger years, I was guilty of that myself. What were your thoughts on that, Michael James?
Explain to me again the exact key here that we're looking at.
Yeah, so let me give you an example. So I just mentioned that I'm guilty myself in my 20s of internalized homophobia. And
would you classify internalized homophobia as bullying?
So is this
what we're getting at, or is this something separate to that?
There is a very fine line, I guess, and it's a bit of a controversial
Chris-o,
line.
What's your thoughts on this?
My mind is clicking overtime here.
So is mine. So go back to your saying, John, when you were 20, you were victimized. Well, you're a victim yourself.
No, I was victimizing other people.
So, does that mean you were bullying other people?
Yes.
Okay. So
correct.
Okay.
So,
are you willing to go further into that?
Yeah. I'm calling it out right now that in my 20s, I was... this might resonate with you guys, but in my 20s, I was like one of those, and I'm using finger quotes right now, just for everyone out there that can't see me, straight acting.
I hate that terminology. I'm sorry, John. I hate it. It drives me insane.
I know. And I also associated with people who were also all very straight acting. But
who were gay themselves.
Yes. And really, at the end of the day, we were just a bunch of old miserable queens who, you know, bagged people who were just comfortable enough to be themselves. So the minute that...
Okay, then I'm victim too.
Yeah.
I've judged someone based on their appearance at a gay venue.
Yeah. But like I said, though...
But I think, we all do that?
There's a very fine line here. So you're allowed to be annoyed by someone. So if someone does get on your nerves for whatever reason... That's okay, but if it's driving you to act, like to go through with acts of hatred, then that is not okay. So you're allowed to be annoyed, but I don't think it's okay to hurt someone.
I think as a community, and I think that everyone to some point would be guilty of it. I think that if you see somebody that is, you know, very, very openly gay and, you know, flamboyant, I guess is the correct word that I can use. I think that as a gay man myself, and I know when I used to work at a nightclub and I would see men like that,
I say you have worked in a nightclub,
I would automatically go for the easiest target, you know, and I would, you know, kind of use their sexuality against them, like, oh, you know, why do you have to be such a girl, you know, stop being, you know, such a homo, essentially.
Yep.
And that's what I used to say, and I'm you know, I it's not the nicest thing to say, but I think as a gay man you go for the easy target, you go for the shot below the belt, without ever knowing somebody. And I think everybody is, I guess, we're all guilty of going for the easiest thing if we don't know the person, because we're judging them on a first appearance.
Yeah, and it's not just so... We've kind of covered off on, you know, the flamers, and mm-hmm. that's more finger quotes there, but there's also lots of other stereotypes out there, like, and nobody likes to be put into a box.
Let me ask you this then, John. How do we avoid stereotypes, and how do we stop this name calling?
The first thing we need to do, so the human mind operates, it can't process the whole universe that it perceives. So what it does is it starts to generalize, and it goes, okay, you're kind of like person A that I met last week, so therefore you are also person A. That's kind of the way we go in and start typecasting things. But what we need to do is we need to actually go in and accept the beauty and appreciate these people. Like, don't
judge a book by its cover.
Yeah, don't just get to know, make a negative judgment. If you don't have time to make a judgment, like a proper judgment, then don't judge at all. I think that's the piece of advice that
Chris,
we need to take away from this.
I agree with that, but again, I think it comes down to easier said than done. I think as human beings, we are very judgmental people, I think, regardless of, you know, gender,
and I think sexuality. Too, we need to remember that I think sometimes we don't mean to be,
exactly,
as well.
I mean I pride myself on not being judgmental, but I know that there are instances where I am, and it's either because I don't know somebody, I don't understand them, but you will make a judgment regardless of whether you want to or not. In your head, you will make a judgment, whether it be a good thing or a bad thing.
But hold the phone, Chris-o. What about, okay, let me put this to you. Okay, so I said about accepting the differences in each other. Let's dig in. Let's either judge, like get to know someone and then judge, or not judge at all. What about if we don't judge ourselves? Okay, we don't assume what we are, and we actually just go with it.
So, okay, I'm going to think on that one for a little bit.
So let me explain this. Oh my God, I feel like I'm like some preacher here, and I know that we have to wrap up time. So let's look at the first place that we want to create a change. And I think someone famous once said, be the change you want to see in the world. The change has to originate from the person that wants to make a difference. So you can go out there and tell the whole world that they're wrong, but the first place you have to change it is in your own backyard. And that's wrapping up that discussion.
We are actually going to continue this discussion next week on our show. So we will go into it a lot further, because I think it's an important topic here on Purple Speech, and I think it's very relevant. We want to know your thoughts. So Facebook us, facebook.com/purplespeech, and let us know about internalized homophobia. We will put a topic onto our Facebook page, a general discussion what we've talked about. So get involved. We'll read out your comments. I think it's a very important issue, and I want to keep talking about this, but we are out of time tonight. So you have been listening to Purple Speech. Next week, Colin Winter returns back into the studio. Colin, for our listeners, was part of Purple Speech last year in our first season. He's coming back in. He flew to New Zealand. He's now back in. He'll be talking to us live in the studio next week. Chris-o, thank you. John P. Wintle.
Thank you.
Until next week, you've been listening to Purple Speech here on Joy 94.9.
You can find more Joycasts and show blogs. Go to joy.org.au.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.